celebration after atheists threatened the North Carolina schools. This is a public school kids. They go sing there, and they've shut that down. They removed, Indiana, they've taken a cross sitting on top of a Christmas tree. They've ruled that unconstitutional. All over the place, we're seeing it. There was a time in our nation, brethren, that the leaders recognized Christmas and recognized what Christmas was about. There's been quite a few books out on it. I have a couple here. I've done a lot of research on this through the years, Christmas and stuff. This is a great book, The War on Christmas by John Gibson a few years ago. The Battle for Christmas. I mean, whenever the name Jesus Christ shows up, trouble's coming. That's what the Bible gave you this morning. Here's one, the December Wars, religious symbols and ceremonies in the public square. And here's what Harry Truman in 1951, he was a Christian, by the way. He's the first president to recognize Israel as a nation, by the way. The others wouldn't do it, but he did. FDR's successor, Harry Truman, says this in 1951. It says, in an increasingly secular age, he was not afraid to proclaim Jesus as the Redeemer of the world. In his 1951 address, nor did he hesitate to affirm in 52, his last Christmas at the White House, he said, quote, 51, through Jesus Christ, the world will yet be a better and finer place. This faith sustains us today as it sustained mankind for centuries plus. This is why the Christmas story, with the bright stars shining and the angels singing, moves us to wonder and stirs our hearts to praise. He concludes with the message this, I wish for all of you a Christmas filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit and many years of future happiness of the peace of Jesus Christ reigning on this earth. Wouldn't you like to hear that nowadays? My goodness gracious, wouldn't that be something? Here's what Ronald Reagan said in 19, and it lists a lot of presidents. These are only two really worth repeating to you. Most of them don't say anything. Ronald Reagan in 1981, his Christmas address said this, at this special time of year, we all renew our sense of wonder in recalling the story of the first Christmas in Bethlehem nearly 2,000 years ago. Some celebrate Christmas as the birthday of a great and good philosopher and teacher. Others of us, such as me, believe in the divinity of the Christ born in Bethlehem, that he was and is the promised Prince of Peace. Tonight, millions of American homes, the glow of the Christmas tree is a reflection of the love that Jesus Christ taught us. Like the shepherds and wise men of that first Christmas, we Americans have always tried to follow a higher light, a star, if you will, that lonely campfire vigils along the frontier in the darkest days of the Great Depression through war and peace. The twin beacons of faith and freedom have brightened the American sky. At times our footsteps may have faltered, but trusting in God's help, we've never lost our way, brethren. Wouldn't you like to hear that nowadays? My goodness, man. There's been a lot of attacks on Christmas this year. And one of them that got my attention this year was over in Texas. And there was a teacher there. Her name was Deidre Shannon. She was a teacher of Patterson Middle School in Keeling, Texas, a middle grade teacher. And she decorated her door with scenes from the movie A Charlie Brown Christmas. And the decorations included a picture of Charlie Brown, Linus, the scrawny little Christmas tree, and Linus and Lucy. And one of the scenes in A Charlie Brown Christmas is when Linus stands on stage and recites the passages from Luke chapter 2 and from the King James Bible. And on her door, this school teacher put there Luke 2:11, and it said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And it said, that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. And the decorations were put up December the 5th. On December the 7th, her principal came to her and said, you've got to take that down. He said, you can leave everything up but the verses. And she said, if I can't have the verses, I'll take it all down. So she took it all down. And now right, the attorney general told the principal that he's got to put it back up, but the principal is fighting the attorney general and the judge, and still the principal won't let her put it back up, by the way. And that's not the first time Charlie Brown has caused controversy. Several schools also around the country have canceled stage performances of A Charlie Brown Christmas because of the reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that got me thinking. I got kind of curious because I've never really watched A Charlie Brown Christmas. I can remember portions of it. I don't know that I've ever really watched it from start to finish. But when I saw that, I thought, man, I want to see what this thing's about. So last week, I got on YouTube and watched a little bit of the Charlie Brown Christmas. And it's pretty good. It was made, get this, let me give you a little bit about it. It was made in 1965, 51 years ago. CBS is the one that put it out. It was sponsored by Coca-Cola. It is the most watched Christmas video, movie, whatever, of all time in history. It won an Emmy and a Peabody. And in the movie, I was watching Charlie Brown. He has this little old scrawny Christmas tree. And everything's hectic like it is. You know, it's worse today. And he's just frustrated in there. And he's disgusted. And he's depressed. And in the thing, Charlie Brown, frustration, here's what he said. And he throws up his arms. He says, "I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about." And he says, "Isn't there anyone that knows what Christmas is all about?" And little Linus walks up with his blanket. And he said, "Charlie Brown, I know what Christmas is all about." And turn to Luke chapter 2. He said, "Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about." And Linus starts, he walks up with his little blanket and walks out on the stage. And of course, he's quoting it, Luke chapter 2. And he starts in verse 2:8. "And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." And Linus does a great job. You ought to watch it. And he says, "Good great tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." In verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest and on peace, goodwill toward men." And Linus walks over to Charlie after saying that. He says, "That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown." And I want to say to you this morning, that's what Christmas is all about right there. And there's another show that came on, another book that got my attention that I like about Christmas. And it's one called How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Dr. Seuss. And it was written, and I like Christmas. I like kids' stuff. They speak to me, Miss Jane. That's where I get a lot of sermons and kids' books, you know. And one of them is How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And Dr. Seuss wrote that in 1957, by the way. And I got thinking about old Charlie Brown. And I think about Linus in 1965, 51 years ago, number one show on TV, sponsored by CBS and Coca-Cola, and winning Emmy. And nowadays, they're taking it off the school board and suing people for one little Bible verse. And Linus walks out there and said, "That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown." And I thought, I'm going to preach a message on how the Grinch stole Christmas. Amen. And I will preach a message. It's called How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And you're familiar with How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Oh, Grinch, he's an old grumpy, scrawny man. He's a type of the devil, by the way. Dr. Seuss made him a type of the devil. And he's a picture of the devil. And he looks down there in Whoville. And Whoville's all excited about Christmas and everything. And he's by humbug. And he goes down there and steals the gifts and the food and all that kind of stuff. And tries to run their Christmas. And they find out that wasn't really what Christmas was all about. Amen. And I want to preach on how the Grinch stole Christmas. And I understand all the pagan connection with Christmas. I've probably done as much research on Christmas as anybody in the country. I preached on it, taught about it. I got a little book on Santa Claus. And I know all the pagan stuff. I know all of it. But somehow, through all that nonsense, God the Holy Spirit and the light of Jesus Christ is shined through all that nonsense. And I think about David over there one time when he killed Goliath. He went over there and got Goliath's sword and used that to cut his head off with. And sometimes we might just be able to use one of the swords the devil's got and some of the pagan nonsense to reach over there and cut his head off every once in a while, amen, and take a stab with it. And I thank God there was a time when I first got saved and I understand all the pagan things of Christmas. I didn't want anything to do with it. But as I mellowed and got a little bit more wisdom, Miss Zito, I realized that God could get the glory through this thing if we'll let Him. And the key is if we'll let Him. And there was a time in America, even as a kid, I can remember that the main center point and the centerpiece among lost and saved was the birth and the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. But it's not anymore. It's not anymore. Jesus is the reason for the season. Keep Christ in Christmas. It ought to be all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And He ought to be lifted up. It's called Christ Mass. Mass stands for the death of Jesus Christ. Christ Mass, that birth of Jesus Christ, points to His death and His sacrifice coming in the world. And Jesus Christ ought to be lifted up. And there's no doubt the devil wants to destroy any reference to Jesus Christ. I mean, we see it all over the place. I could give you all kind of things about this. 2 Corinthians 2:11, Paul said, "Lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we were not ignorant of his devices." We need to realize he's at work and not to be ignorant of his devices. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, Paul says, "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should shine." He's trying to blind that gospel and blind them to Jesus Christ, and he'll do it any way and every way he can. And brother, he has stole Jesus Christ out of Christmas. And I want to give you a few things about that. How the Grinch stole Christmas. Waters World, he's seen him on Fox News. I like that guy. He always goes around and talks to people, you know. About the only thing I like on there. But I like him. He's hilarious. And he walked around a few weeks ago, I saw it. And he asked, went around, and it was a New York City. And he went around asking them, "What is the meaning of Christmas? What do we celebrate?" And you know what some of them said? One of them said, "Oh, isn't that when Columbus discovered America?" That's what he said. And one of them said, "Doesn't it have something to do with those pilgrims or somebody like that?" Out of all the people, he said he went to about 100 people, and there was only one older lady that said, "Christmas is the birth of Jesus Christ." And he went by and asked them, he said, "Do y'all know where Jesus was born?" You know how many people got it right? That one lady. One of them said, "Well, I think he was born in Germany." And one of them said, "Wasn't he born in the White House, Washington, D.C.? I mean, this was sane people, supposedly. That's how far we have gotten away from Christmas. And I want to preach on how the Grinch stole Christmas. I'm going to ask Brother Anthony to take us to the Lord in prayer before the message. I want to say the first thing, and the main thing, the number one thing that has taken the place of Jesus Christ in Christmas is the family. You know what Christmas now is? It's all about the family. And thank God for our families. Thank God my wife's over there. Thank God that precious and wonderful grandkids I've got. But I'm going to tell you, brethren, Christmas is not the family. Christmas is the Lord Jesus Christ, the birth of Him. Lifeway did a survey this year. Lifeway Research, a form of the Southern Baptist, it says this. The survey was called "Americans Celebrate Christmas, Yet Many Stray from the Religious Meaning." Said this. Lifeway Research uncovered a gap even among Christians between the religious emphasis of the holiday and the merry family-focused traditions. It says this, in fact, this is exactly what it says, I'm quoting it. In fact, 81% put family first at Christmas, agreeing strongly or somewhat with the statement, "Family traditions are the most important part of Christmas to me." It went on to say, Ed Stetzer, president of Lifeway Research, said, quote, "There is no question that Americans celebrate the Christmas holiday, but a closer look at how they celebrate reveals that it typically revolves around family and that Christ-centered elements are not common. For many in our culture, the season is disconnect for the reason. For many, the family is the reason for the season. And I'm going to tell you, brethren, thank God for our families. Thank God for our children. Thank God for those beautiful grandchildren. Thank God for your wife and your husband and your kinfolk. But I'm going to tell you, brethren, they are not the reason for Jesus Christ. They are not the reason for Christmas. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have taken family and put it above the Lord in Christmas, and that's not where we need to be, brethren. In our generation, it's all about the family. I preached a message a while back on how to run the race. And I preached one, I preached a series of it. And one of the messages was, who shall hinder you in the race? And I said, the number one thing that'll knock you out of the race above everything combined is family. Family will take you out, and the next thing is your friends. Those are the two things. And in our generation, the devil can take something great and wonderful and precious in family and put it above the Lord. That's not where it needs to be. Family has replaced the Lord Jesus Christ. The survey said this, get this. This kind of blew my mind. Quote, this is exactly what it says. Christians are actually among the most likely to enjoy elements of the Christian season not related to Jesus Christ's birth. It is Christians that celebrate Christmas more with the worldly and the family and the decorations than even the lost people in relations to the birth of Jesus Christ. That blew my mind. Family has replaced the Lord Jesus Christ as the centerpiece and the focus of Christmas nowadays. It's all about the family. Thank God for our family. Family's wonderful. They're precious. And they're beautiful. And they're wonderful to be around. When my wife was in the hospital, I loved to be around my family. When she was in the hospital and my son called me up and she was really sick. He said, Dad, me and Liz, we can leave. We can come up there. If it'll help you. I said, son, it would help if you could come up and get Sarah out of the hospital so she don't have to stay up here. And I told him, I said, you know what, son, too? I said, some of the best medicine you could give her, your mom, if she would come up here and see you. And it did. I mean, to be around your kids and be around your family, what a blessing it is. It's so good to get around our kids and just enjoy it. I remember my dad, when he got old, he'd always want us boys to come by, you know. And I'd say, well, Dad, there's not a whole lot to do. He'd say, we don't have to do nothing. He'd say, we don't have to go anywhere. I just want you guys to come over. I just like to hang around you guys. And at the time, Brother Zito, I didn't know. But nowadays, as my kids have moved away and all that, you know what? I just like to be around them. I love to be around my family. I told you about that joke last week, I think it was, week before, about that elderly couple. He's about 80 years old. Remember that? And he called up his son and he said, son, I can't live with your mother anymore. I can't stand her. He said, I can't stand to be in the same room with her. And in the morning I'm going and I'm filing for divorce. He hung the phone up and his son calls his sister up. He said, oh no, Dad's going to have the divorce. Oh no, we got to get there. And so his daughter calls up and she said, Dad, don't do anything. Don't do anything. We're leaving. We'll be there in the morning. Don't do anything. And he hung up the phone. He told his wife, he said, that got him up here for Thanksgiving. Now what are we going to do for Christmas? I told my wife, she's in the hospital. I said, that got old Stephen up for here. You know, what are we going to do next? And she said, I don't think this is worth him coming in and getting this sick kind of thing. But I like to be around the family. It's a wonderful thing. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. We ought to love our wives. It said, nevertheless, let her one of you in particular love his wife, even as himself. Say that the wife give reverence to her husbands. Titus chapter 2 says about the aged women that they can teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children, and be discreet, keepers of home, good, and obedient to their husbands. Listen, God bless the family. He blessed the family. And we're to love our spouses. We're to love our kids and love our grandkids. But I'm going to tell you, family is not the reason for Christmas, brethren. And the Grinch has taken family and replaced it with the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bible. My grandsons, take your Bible, turn to Matthew 10. My grandsons, man, they're the most amazing kids on the planet. Unbelievable. Unbelievable how smart they are, isn't it? I mean, bona fide geniuses. I mean, geniuses, man. That little guy already, he knows, Miss Debbie, when he brings them shoes to his papa, time to go out. I mean, those kids are amazing. I love them kids. A few years ago when they came over for Christmas, little Noah, he was about two, I guess. And we had a lot of problems at work, and I was having to work a lot during Christmas, and I was downstairs in my office. We had a little fence up there at the stairs so that he couldn't come down. And he'd get at that little fence, and he'd say, "Papa, I love you. Papa, I love you." And you know what Papa would do? He'd drop what he's doing and heading on up. How many of them kids got you? How many of Brother Bob Smith was over the other day, and he's talking about that great-grandkid of his that come in there and say, "Papa, I love you this much." Brother Bob said, "I don't care how bad I feel. When that little guy walks in, I feel wonderful." Love those family. Love those grandkids, man. They're amazing. Philippians over there, Proverbs 17, children's children are the crown of old man. I gave a man a tract at the hospital the other day. He had a bunch of grandkids there. And I said, "That's your grandkids?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Aren't they something?" I said, "They sure are." And he said, "I tell my kids that's the only reason I had kids, to have grandkids. That was it." But you know what? Family should not replace the Lord Jesus Christ in Christmas. Look at Matthew chapter 10. We ought to love our families. And I'm not trying to negate the importance of the family, but what I'm trying to do this morning, I'm trying to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ way above that family. Look at Matthew 10. How many of you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Raise your hand. Every word? King James, by every last word, okay? Watch this. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 10. I didn't write this now. Look at Matthew 10, verse 35. Here's what he said. "For I am not come to set a man at variance against his daughter." The word variance means at each other's throat, what it means. He said, I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, the daughter against the mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Can you say, Brother Vincent, when he got saved, they tried to kill him? Can you say, Brother Earl, when he got saved, they kicked him out? I could go on and on. Look at verse 7. Look what 37. Look what the Lord Jesus said. "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Brother, let me tell you, that's the word of Jesus Christ. And he says, if you put that husband or that family or that son or the daughter, he said, you're not even worthy of me. His standards are high, Brother Ben. You know what's replaced Jesus Christ in Christmas? The family has replaced him. Luke chapter 14, verse 26, he said this, "If any man come to me and hate not his father, his mother, his wife, his children, brethren, sisters, yea, his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Lord says, if it comes between me and them, there's no contest. It's me first. I think when I was thinking of this, there's a verse also in Matthew 19. Verse 29, "And everyone that has forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive the hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life." I thought of our friend Tommy Tillman. I mean, here's a man. His wife is paralyzed, Brother Jeff. She's blind, sitting bedridden. And here's a man over in Thailand, thousands of miles away, away from his wife. Two of his daughters died unexpectedly. He's got grandkids, and he left his wife and his grandkids and all that comfort he could give, and he's over here in Thailand, thousands of miles away, telling some lepers about Jesus Christ. Somebody said he don't love his wife very much. He don't care for them grandkids. Oh, he loves his wife just as much as you love yours. But he loves his Lord more. And that's the way it ought to be. You know what? Family has replaced Jesus Christ as a centerpiece of Christmas. Make your family a part of Christmas. Bring them to church. Christmas Day used to be the most church day of the year. It didn't matter if it was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Christmas Day, everybody went to church and worshiped God that day. Didn't matter what day it is. That day was Christmas. Brother, you went to church 40 years ago. The family knew that we'd be in church if they didn't go any other time. Be that time. I remember one time I was in Pensacola, and it was Christmas. And Brother Jim McGahee was preaching. I'll never forget it. And he got up, the first thing he got up, he said this. When he got up, he said, I just want to wish all of you a happy Easter. He said, because some of you, the only time we see you is Christmas and Easter. So I just want to go ahead and wish you a happy Easter right now. But you know what? People used to flock to church on Christmas Day. But nowadays, it's all about the families. Families have stolen Jesus Christ out of Christmas. Charlie Brown, family is not what Christmas is about. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And that's what Christmas is about, Charlie Brown. Family has replaced Jesus Christ. Not only that, I tell you something else that's replaced the Lord Jesus Christ in Christmas. Food. Uh-oh, preacher. Now you're getting into it. Now you're meddling, preacher. Now you're getting out of it, preacher. Like old Carl Lackey used to say, I'm going to dig in your tater house a little while. I'm going to literally dig in your tater house a little while. Because you know what Christmas is all about for a lot of people? It's all about the food. I'll make a confession to you. You may be surprised, but I like to eat. I like to eat. And I'll tell you something else. That woman right there is a good cook. I tell people, I say, I don't know if she got better cooking, if I just got where I like it, but it sure is good, man. I think of old Adam over there. He said, the woman that thou gavest unto me, she gave unto me, and I did eat. And I eat, and I eat, and I eat. And I love Christmas dinner. My wife will be in there cooking, and you can smell it all over the house, Miss Debbie. Oh, man, I'd smell that dressing. I'd smell that turkey. I'd smell that green bean casserole. I'd smell that sweet potato. I'll just get excited, Miss Tara, about it. And I'm going to tell you, food sometimes has replaced the Lord Jesus Christ in Christmas. My wife, she cooks a mean dressing. You can take that dressing, take a spoonful of it, and put it on top of your head. Just leave it there a minute. And your tongue will beat your brains out trying to get to it. That stuff's good. I like the food. It's good. Like that little boy one time. You know, he's sitting there at Christmas table. He had about 3 pieces of apple pie, Brother Ben. And he told his mom, he said, little guy, he said, I want another piece of apple pie, Mom. She said, son, if you eat one more piece, you'll explode. He said, will you pass the pie and stand back? Amen. I mean, I felt that way before. I've ate so much dressing. I just felt like, just pass the dressing over here and y'all just stand back. I'm about to blow up. I want to tell you, sometimes food has replaced the Lord Jesus Christ in Christmas. People spend so much time with the food and the cooking and eating. Sometimes Jesus can't even get in it. And we replace the Lord with food. Take your Bible. Turn to Romans chapter 16. Now I tell you what. Aunt Miss Samantha, she cooks a mean banana pudding. I wasn't much for banana pudding, I'll be honest with you. I heard Jim White preach about banana pudding one time. And he got all over banana pudding. Didn't you? One of these messages. And after I heard him, I thought, man, I need to stay away from that nanner pudding. But I'll tell you, Miss Samantha brought us some nanner pudding over there the other day. And boy, she made me back a convert for nanner pudding, man. And I will tell you, if that physical therapy thing don't work out, she ought to go into Samantha's old-fashioned nanner pudding in physical therapy services. If she does, I'm going to invest in that. I like to eat, I like the food, but listen, the food shouldn't replace the center of Christmas, which is the Lord Jesus. We need to keep Christ in Christmas. But you know what? We spend more time than we do spending time with the Lord. Look at Romans chapter 16. If we're not careful in our lives, and the Lord warns us about this, that we'll replace the Lord Jesus Christ with food, and food will become our God. Look at Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Now beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offense is contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoided them. For they that are such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but what? Their own belly. That's what they want. Put some in this thing. I'm doing pretty good, man. I saw a friend of mine a while back. I hadn't seen in a while. I came up to him. And I used to be, when I got married, about 180 pounds of solid muscle, man. And I've lost some weight now. I lost about 60 pounds a while back. And I was up there, you know, I look like ho, ho, ho. And I'm standing there, a friend of mine I've seen in a while. He said, man, you've been growing. I said, yeah, I've been growing in the Lord. That's the best thing I could come up with, you know. I like food, but I'm going to tell you, sometimes food, they serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. They spend more time worrying about what's going in here and going in their heart for the Lord. And food's replaced the Lord Jesus. Christmas people spend more time with the food and all that. I read about a guy over in Genesis chapter 25, Esau. Esau came home one day from hunting. He was tired. And Esau, Genesis 25, verse 29. And Jacob sought pottage. And Esau came from the field and he was fed. And Esau said, and Jacob feed me, I pray, with that same red pottage. That was some red chili beans, what that was. What it was. Red chili. And oh, Jacob says to him, he said, well, give me your birthright. And the Bible said that Esau sold his birthright for a mess of pottage. And you know what? Sometimes we have sold the birthright and the birth of Jesus Christ for the food and the turkey and the dressing at Christmas. And he's not even mentioned. You say, what do you do? Food. Food to get you in trouble. Food can get your heart off the Lord. Food can get your eyes off the Lord. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. You know how the Grinch stole Christmas? He put the family above the Lord. Thank God for your family. Enjoy your family this Christmas. Enjoy those kids and those grandkids and the wives and all the kin. Enjoy them, but don't put them above the Lord. Make sure them kin folks, those grandkids and kids and whomever, make sure they know that you know this is about the birth of a Savior that came in this world. Not about the gifts. Not about the family. Not about the food. Genesis chapter 3. You know the first temptation mankind ever got? It wasn't sex. It wasn't greed. It wasn't lust. It wasn't anger. It wasn't murder. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. And the woman saw that the tree was what? Good for food. It was a temptation of food that damned the whole human race. She looked at that tree, Miss Annie Mae, and said, that looks pretty good. That's some good for food. The first thing she noticed, you know what we've done? We have taken Jesus Christ in Christmas and put him on the side and put a stinking turkey in his place. And most people sit around that turkey table and all that stuff more than they even mention the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, how the Grinch stole Christmas? He stole it with family. He stole it with food. I'll give you another way. He stole it with fables. Fables. Christmas is littered and looted with these stupid, silly lies and fables out of it. I mean, you got Santa Claus. You got Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Head of every shiny nose. And if you ever saw Frosty the Snowman. I'm going to tell you something, folks, those things are not true. They're fables and they're nonsense and they're silly and they're diluting and perverting and corrupting the wonderful message of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, there's not another holiday in the world that has all that junk in it. That's the only one. And you know why? The devil is trying to corrupt the birth of Jesus Christ. All throughout that thing. I got a book here. A little booklet I wrote about Santa Claus. And you hadn't read this. I got some in the back. You ought to read this. I mean, you ought to read this. All throughout the life of Santa Claus, I call it the great imposter. Everything in his life is a rip-off and a take-off on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what Santa Claus is? He's a carpenter. You know where he lives? In the North Pole. You know where Jesus is at? He's in the North. You can go on and on. He's sitting on the throne and kids come and sit in his lap. You say, what is that? That's a picture of God. You know what it said? He's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty. That's God. All throughout that thing is a picture of Jesus. And brother, when you put that big fat lie in those kids' mind, what do you think's going to happen when you try to tell them the truth about Jesus Christ? They're going to think it's the same old big fat lie. And that's what I got documented. I got in here with two kids talking about it. And one of them asked the other, says, what do you think about Jesus Christ? And the other kid says, I think it's just like Santa Claus. I think it's a great big lie. I mean, it's over and over here. You know what we've done? We have taken the wonderful birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, how the Son of God came in this world as born of a virgin, laid in a manger to die for us and pay for our sins, and the greatest story that ever was, and we turned it into a fable. Jesus Christ is real. He's not a myth. It's not a fable. He's not Santa Claus. And brother, all those things, they just dilute the truth of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, the most fertile time, who is this that cometh in red apparel? Santa Claus. No, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it says over there in the book of Isaiah. As his feet, they burn in the furnace, coming down the chimney just like Santa Claus. Everything in there I've got over and over and over. You know what the German name Kris Kringle means? The Christ child. What it means. Santa Claus is a takeoff, an imposter of the Lord Jesus Christ to steal the faith of those little kids. Barna Research says this. They did a survey, and it's called, they have the third millennial teens and the myth. Here's what it says. The teen years are evangelistically productive. Reality, if they're not saved by age 13, they probably never will be. It goes on to say the data shows clearly that the prime evangelistic years are those before a person becomes a teenager. And it's that childlike faith that those kids have. And brother, when you delude and you pervert and you corrupt that thing and you steal the Lord Jesus Christ, brother, I'm going to tell you, playing with fire. We've stole it with fables all throughout there. Jesus Christ is real, friend. He's real. He's not a myth. I showed you where this atheist people going around these nativity scenes around the country and says there is no God. At this season of winter solstice, let reason prevail. There are no gods, no devils, no angels, no heaven or hell. There is only a natural world. Religion is but myth and superstition that hardens hearts and enslaves mind. They're putting that all over the place. And I'm going to tell you, brethren, you're in a battle already for the souls of your kids. Stuff like that going around all over the place, all over our schools. And you need to take every precaution, everything you can to teach those kids and those grandkids the truth. I never told my kids Santa Claus. Not one second. I told them the truth. I told them Jesus Christ gave them those gifts. Jesus provided the job and the money for Dad, and he did. I remember my kids. They get around the family sometime at Christmas, you know. And some of them would come in there and say, I remember my dad one time, he came, my little boy, he's about 7 or 8, and he said, Santa Claus coming to see you? And my little boy, he looked over at me and winked. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say fables and nonsense and foolishness has stolen the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you got all over this country. Parents preaching the gospel of Santa Claus. All over, they're all over the place. Do you believe in Santa Claus?
You better be good because Santa Claus is coming to town. You better make sure you go to bed. Listen, if they had preached the gospel of Jesus Christ like they preached the gospel of Santa Claus, we'd have revival tomorrow. Amen. And they preach it with conviction. James Spann will get on the Weather Channel and he'll show, well, what's this on the radar? Oh, I see something moving. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Don't tell those kids that. Tell them the truth. Jesus Christ came in this world to save sinners. We rob it with fables and foolish and nonsense. According to Gallup poll, get this. Gallup poll says Christians are the most likely to encourage belief in Santa Claus. It's Christians. Unbelievable. 48% of Christians teach their kids there's a Santa Claus. And only 28% of that same bunch read the Christmas story of the Bible to their kids. Miss Zito, can you believe that? They're sitting there telling them about something that's a lie and something that has no meaning and a mock-up of Jesus Christ, and then they never mention the birth of the Lord. Christians. So how do they rob them? They rob them with fables. They rob them with family. They rob them with food. I could go on and on and on. I'll give you one other thing. One other thing. How the Grinch stole Christmas. He used a family. Family replaces the Lord. Uses food. It gets all about the food. Enjoy your family. Enjoy the food. Avoid the fables like a pit bull with AIDS. And he took the fables and the truth, the wonderful truth of Jesus Christ, and turned it into a fable. I got some books of this. If you hadn't read this book, you ought to read it. You ought to read it. Blow your mind all the things about Santa Claus in there. But like the Lord, everything in there comes out of the Bible. Everything. And those little kids, when they put their faith in that thing. They believe it with all their hearts. I got letters in there when they're writing, Santa Claus, would you heal my mother? Santa Claus, would you bring peace to the world? They think he's a god. And then what happens? They find out it's just a great big fat lie. And then you try to tell them the truth about Jesus Christ. Brethren, that's not the way it ought to be. Paul said, we're not ignorant of his advice. I'll give you one more thing this morning. And I want to say, not only there's the family, the food, the fables, there's the whole festivity of this thing. Festivities. People just get so much in this thing, the Lord can't get in it. I got some statistics up here where it says 89% give gifts to family members. Here's that. Just ask them, how do you celebrate Christmas? 89% said giving gifts to family members. 86% said gather with a family or friends at a Christmas meal. This is Gallup poll. 80% said we put up a Christmas tree. 77% said they decorate their homes. And said among Christians, giving presents and Santa Claus is the most popular things among Christians. What's going on? I'm like Charlie Brown. Isn't there somebody in this world that knows what Christmas is about? I mean, it's about Jesus Christ. It's about the Son of God that came in His world and was born in a manger and died and lived 33 years to pay for our sins and get us out of hell. Said Christians, Gallup poll said Christians are actually among the most likely to enjoy the elements of Christian season not related to Jesus' birth. Christians. You know what we've done? We have let the old Grinch steal Jesus Christ out of Christmas. Enjoy your family. Nothing wrong with the family. Thank God for the family. Enjoy the food. But brethren, they should not be above Jesus Christ. You heard over in Matthew 10 from the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, those kids, when you get, you know, Christmas is one of the best times of the year to witness to your loved ones. You got to open door. Got to open door. Gallup poll says this. Though a majority encourage belief in Christ at Christmas, 67% of Americans say that, quote, many of the things I enjoy during Christmas season has nothing to do with the birth of Jesus Christ. says this, Americans give Jesus a head nod at Christmas, but spend most of the season pleasing their eyes, ears, and taste buds with decorations, music, and meals. Many celebrate Christmas the way most have celebrated Halloween, the fun traditions without any mention of the religious significance. Do you sit down with your family Christmas? Do you sit down with those grandkids? Do you sit down with those kids and read Luke chapter 2? Tell them about the Lord. Or you just go through like every other atheist, no mention of Jesus. Just grow through the whirlwind. You know what? This is the best time in the year to tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. Sit down with those grandkids and those kids. You know, the only introduction a lot of people are going to get to Jesus Christ is going to be Christmas. And most of that's going to be polluted and corrupted and perverted. Sit down with those kids and say, I want to read you about the birth of the Lord Jesus. And ask them, do you know who Jesus was? Jesus was the Son of God. He was God in the flesh. Do you know why Jesus came to this world? He came to this world to save you and pay for your sins so that you could go to heaven and live with Him. What a wonderful time. Who that's saved and loves the Lord would not want to do that? As much as you love your kids and your grandkids, wouldn't you want them above everybody to know about the Lord Jesus? Shouldn't that be the top priority? Any gift you could possibly give your grandkids or your kids or your friends or your family or nieces or anybody, couldn't the greatest gift you could ever give them is telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ? They may not hear it nowhere else. You may be the only voice they're ever going to hear that. Lifeway survey said this: Christians can often get distracted during Christmas and completely overlook the opportunity to represent Christ to their neighbors. Believers can and should put Christ first in our Christmas celebrations and then represent Him to a world in need of the biblical understanding of peace on earth. This is the greatest time of the year to tell those kids and grandkids and friends and family and nieces and nephews and whomever you might come in contact during that time about the Lord Jesus. I got a poem here, close of this. And Miss Michelle's son, Taylor, wrote this poem. I wish she was here, but I asked her to take the kids back for this. Here's what he wrote. Can this be Christmas? Wait, that's not it. Wrong one. Here's what he wrote. A Christmas wish. Caleb wrote this. The season of Christmas that we once used to know is no longer the same as it was years ago. When we walk in the stores, what is it we see? It's no longer a Christmas, but a holiday tree. Calling it Christmas makes people upset. They cause such a commotion and pitch such a fit. The birth of our Lord has become obsolete. With today's new traditions, He just can't compete. We're proud of our presents that lie wall to wall, but we look past the greatest gift of them all. We were given this gift such a long time ago, though it didn't have paper, a ribbon, or a bow. We were given a child, as it says in God's Word. His mother a virgin, but His father the Lord. He came to this world to save you and me. Is this not what the meaning of Christmas should be? The country we love, the red, white, and blue, has turned from our Savior and His Word that is true. We all have our gifts that we wish for each season. Now it's time for America to remember the reason. My wish for this Christmas is so simple and small. It's a wish that will help us, each one and all. I wish that this country would stand up and pray, that we'd all turn our eyes back to Jesus today. What a message, man. What a message. What a message. I want to say, Charlie Brown, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning.